Howdy, cowboys and cowgirls. Rustle up some friends and let's have some fun with the folks of Giddy Up Junction.
Hop on your horse and meet us down at Giddy Up Junction. Adventures await within the town of Giddy Up Junction. A western town around the bend, it's Giddy Up Junction. We'll meet the folks and make new friends at Giddy Up Junction.
What a great day to be in the Lord's house. To all our visitors, thanks for stopping in for church this morning here at First Baptist of Giddy Up Junction. I'm Pastor Cody Casey, and I, for one, am delighted that you're here. And to our regular folk, well, thanks for being faithful to the Lord and His church. Now let's open our King James Bibles today to the book of Matthew. Chapter 6 and in verse 33, we read, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Let me ask you to be honest with yourself this morning and answer this question. Who do you put first in your life? Does God come first in your life? Are you seeking to please God with your life above all other things? Or do you seek to please yourself? Maybe you seek to please your friends. Do you desire to live a holy, righteous life that honors God? Each of us, after we're saved and baptized, should continue to seek to put God first in our lives. We should begin to look to God and His Word for what is right and what is wrong. Last week, I told you how the good people of Giddy Up Junction learned an important lesson about putting God first on the first day of the week, Sunday. The parson and the Lord's Ranger stood up for right, and it not only changed some people's heart on going to church on Sunday, but for a couple of people in Giddy Up that got saved and baptized, it changed a whole lot more. I remember like it was yesterday. The town of Giddy Up Junction was full of smiling faces, the smell of cotton candy, popcorn, and yes, tacos filled the air as the circus stuck around for Monday. The whole town showed up this time, and it was clear that there was more than just happiness behind the makeup of the clowns. There was the joy of salvation that is only found in Jesus Christ. That joy was on display throughout the day among all those who knew what had happened Sunday past in Giddy Up Junction. But this story really begins with the arrival of the stagecoach and the return of our own Dr. Hurt.
Whoa! All right, we're in Giddy Up. Whoa! Wasn't talking to you horses. All right, we're in Giddy Up Junction. Next stop, Dodge City. For those of you that are going on with us, be back here in an hour. Dr. Hertz, thanks for taking a look at that cup for me.
Oh, don't mention it. It was no big deal. I was happy to help.
Are you sure I can't pay you anything?
No. I wouldn't hear of it. Now run along and fetch those horses something to eat and drink. They've earned it.
I sure will. Thanks again, Doc.
Yes, Dr. Hertz had returned. From where? Well, I'm glad you asked. He just returned from a missions trip south of the border. You see, not only was Dr. Hertz a man of medicine, but he was also a man of faith. He loved the Lord and would go on mission trips from time to time to share his gift of healing with those in need, and while he was there, he'd share his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Hertz could not have returned at a better time, for he had no more stepped away from the stagecoach when he heard the sound of a loud crash coming from the area where the circus was packing up to leave. He raced to the scene with his doctor's bag in hand.
How can I help?
Praise the Lord. You're just in time, Doc.
Yes. Your timing is uncanny, Dr. Hertz.
Over here, Doc. Help this juggler. He's hurt his arm while I catch that ornery big cat.
What? My?
Help that poor woman.
But I would have to leave the safety of this here hiding spot.
Mayor!
All right. I'll come out there in the open and risk life and limb for a citizen of this great town, because I am your illustrious mayor, Cletus Cornelius Kennedy, and...
That's right, folks. The mayor fainted. The lion got out, and Dr. Hertz was put to work before anyone could tell him what had transpired in Giddyup Junction. Don't worry, it didn't take long for the Lord's Ranger to throw a rope on that overgrown cat and hogtie him with a belt. Old Dr. Hertz wrapped up that juggler and put him on light duty for the next three performances. He patched up a clown that looked like he'd been to the rodeo. And oh yeah, I almost forgot. The lady that fainted, she made a quick recovery. But the town's illustrious mayor needed smelling salts to bring him around, and some help from the Lord's Ranger to get him home. With his doctor's bag light from all the work that Dr. Hertz found upon his return to Giddyup Junction, he headed to the place in town that carried everything. That's right, Carson's General Store.
Howdy, Doc. We heard you were back in town, and just in time, no doubt. With all those Hertz Circus folks and that lion getting loose, woo-wee! That had to be the Lord bringing you back just in time.
I agree, but I've never heard you praise the Lord like that before, Mr. Carson.
Well, you can call me Brother Carson now, Doc. I got born again this past Sunday.
Well, praise the Lord. Brother Carson, why don't you tell me about it? I always love to hear how someone got saved.
Well, it all started with the circus coming to town.
Brother Carson told the doc all about the past week and how God moved in his heart in the Sunday morning service, and about when he stepped out during the invitation and walked down to an old-fashioned altar where he put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
You see, Doc, I knew about Jesus. I had never received him as my Savior, though.
Praise the Lord. Wow. All that happened while I was away.
It sure did, Doc. That had to be the Lord.
I got your mail, Brother Carson.
Well, thanks, Nathan. Just set it on the counter over there.
Hey, Ranger. Man, was I glad that those rumors weren't true about you fearing lions. Hey, Doc, I got a bunch of mail I've been holding for you since you've been gone. I'll bring it by your office later, if that's okay.
Sure, that'd be fine.
Well, I best be getting this mail out.
Nathan, before you go, could you do me a favor and take this package to the preacher for me?
Sure, I'm headed that way anyway. Bye, y'all.
As Nathan Hill left Carson's General Store, the three men said goodbye, and Mr. Carson asked the men what they stopped by for. So the doc filled up his doctor's bag, and the Lord's Ranger got a new belt. After serving his friends, Mr. Carson began to tell the men of his newfound love for the Word of God.
I tell you, men, it's like a brand new book. You know, just like I read it when I was in school, because it was required then. But now, it seems alive, and I understand more and more all the time. The problem is, I don't know where to start, that's all.
On the mission field, we always point new believers in Christ to the book of John. It is a book that describes and shows that Jesus is God.
Yes, sir, I agree. It's all good. However, the book of John is a great place to jump into the Word of God.
Well, if you men are done with your shopping and your talking, there's a lot of work to be done. By the way, it's good to have you back, Doc.
It's good to be back, Mrs. Carson.
I think you're right, Mrs. Carson, on the work and having the doc back. Y'all have a great evening.
As the men go their separate ways across town, Nathan Hill, the town Pony Express rider, makes a delivery to Preacher Parsons.
Well, hello, Nathan. It's good to see you today. Are you feeling any different since you've been saved? I know it's not about feeling, but I also know that the big circus cat wasn't the only upset lion around Giddyup Junction today.
What do you mean? There's another lion on the loose in town?
Calm yourself, young man. The lion I was talking about was the old devil.
What do you mean, preacher?
Well, you see, with you and Mr. Carson and all them circus folks getting saved Sunday past and joining the church through baptism, plus so many others making a decision to be faithful to church, you can be sure that the devil was mad as he could be. The Bible describes Satan as a roaring lion, so...
Okay, I get it now. Well, I don't got mail for you today, but I brought this package to you from Mr. Carson.
Oh, well, thank you, Nathan, but the package is really for you.
What do you mean it's for me?
Well, Nathan, I know you didn't grow up in the best of homes, and before moving to Giddy Up Junction, you told me you'd never been to church. So when you accepted Christ this past Sunday, it was an answer to one of my prayers. So early this morning, I went to see Mr. Carson and bought you this Bible. You see, I had him put your name on the cover. You see it? It says Nathan Hill right here on the front cover.
Yeah, I see. But why, preacher? Why would you spend so much money on a book for me?
Well, because, Nathan, the Bible is God's map for life. It's a compass for our soul to guide us in close fellowship with our Lord and Savior. It helps us grow up in our Christian faith. And to be honest, I see a lot of myself in you. When I got saved, I was around your age. What are you, about 22?
21.
I thought so. I was 22 when my preacher bought me a new Bible, and that was when God began to speak to me through His Word.
You telling me that God speaks through this book?
Yes and no. He speaks to us, but not out loud for us to hear with our ears, but in a still, small voice that we can hear with our heart.
Wow. God can do that for me with that book?
He sure can. If you just spend a little time each day in God's Word, He can do big things in your heart and your life.
Well, do you just start at the beginning, like a regular book?
Well, you can, but for a young man like yourself, I want to recommend that you read a psalm and a proverb every morning. And then at night, start in Matthew. It's the beginning of the New Testament.
Well, as you can imagine, the next question was, what is a New Testament? Preacher Parsons answered question after question and was happy to do so for the young Christian. Finally, Nathan mounted his horse and thanked his pastor for the gift Bible one more time and headed for home, anxious to begin hearing from God through His Word. As the young man rode away, the preacher bowed his head to pray, knowing that the roaring lion, the devil, was still upset and on the loose. The Carson house was already up and breakfast smells were in the air. Bacon, eggs, and of course grits were all part of the spread as each of the family took their place at the table.
Earl, put your Bible away now. It's time for breakfast. Kids, come on, you're going to be late for school if you don't get moving.
Oh, okay, Jenny. Well, will you look at the time? I just got caught up reading God's Word. I'm sorry.
Oh, there's no apologies needed. I'm just trying to keep us on time this morning, dear. Kids! Here, let me fill your coffee cup. Earl, dear, I'm so glad to see you read the Bible. Oh, it just does my heart good.
Well, good, because I plan on reading the Bible each morning. What a book.
Morning, Mama.
Well, it's about time you got down here. Where's your sister?
She was right behind.
I'm right here, Mama.
All right, let's take our seats so we can pray. Mom worked hard on this breakfast.
Yes, sir, I sure did.
Billy, why don't you say grace this morning?
Dad, do I have to?
I'll do it, Daddy. Let me do it.
No, I asked Billy. Now, son, it's a privilege to talk to God and give Him thanks.
I know. Yes, sir. Let's pray.
As Billy Carson prayed and gave thanks for the food set before his family, at the other end of town, others were just arriving, and they were thanking God above for sparing their lives. A couple of men were on their way to the ranger station to tell their tale to the Lord's Ranger. Nathan Hill noticed that the two men on foot were stagecoach driver Dylan Hartford and his gunner that always rode shotgun, Randolph Scott. It didn't take long for young Mr. Hill to realize the stagecoach had been hijacked.
Mr. Hartford, you men all right?
Well, yes, son, I'm fine. But Randolph here took a pretty good lick to the head. I think he needs a stitch or two. Could you go fetch the doc for us? We are headed to the ranger station.
Yes, sir. I'll go get the doc and have him meet you there.
Nathan Hill mounted his horse and rode to get Dr. Hertz while the two men continued on to tell the Lord's Ranger about what had befallen them. At the ranger station, the Lord's Ranger had just finished his morning devotions with the Lord when the two men opened the door.
Good morning! Mr. Hartford, what in tarnation has happened?
Well, I'll tell you, but could we get some water first? We've been walking all night.
Of course, of course. Let me get you some water.
After a long, cool drink of water, Mr. Hartford told his story of how two bandits came out of nowhere on the road to Dodge City and hijacked the stagecoach.
Yes, sir. They came out of nowhere. It was like the devil himself swooped down upon us. Two bandits, both of them guns blazing. We tried to outrun them, but the horses were already tired, and then the coach threw a wheel, and we had to stop. They tied us up, then they loaded the strong boxes and the goods and loaded them up on the horses. But before they rode off, one of them, as evil as a serpent, came over to threaten us not to follow them and laugh with an evil laugh as he wished us luck untying ourselves before the coyotes got us. I don't reckon he liked how Randolph looked at him in that moment, 'cause he hauled off and hit him something fierce, causing that big cut in his head.
Can you identify either of those devils? Also, was anyone else in the stage?
No, those evil bandits had their faces covered. But one voice sounded familiar, kind of, I think. And no, we had one man that was supposed to go on to Dodge City with us, but that young man did not show. When we headed back out for Dodge City, he doesn't know how lucky he was not to make that stagecoach.
Just then, Dr. Hertz arrived with Nathan Hill. Both horses hardly came to a stop before their boots were on the ground and they headed for the door.
I got him. I got the doc. He's here.
Ranger, where's Randolph?
Doc, he's in the back. He's back in one of the cells.
Thanks. You all right, Dylan?
I'm good. Just check on Randolph.
Doc, how can I help?
Run and get me some peroxide from Carson's.
What?
Peroxide. Mr. Carson knows what it is.
Tell him I said charge it to the coach company.
Go, young man.
Nathan Hill ran, not paying any mind to what was coming through town when...
Whoa! What in the world? Wait, is that you, Nathan?
What? Who? Huh?
As Nathan Hill tries to figure out who he was just ran out in front of, he also realizes who these two men were. You see, Nathan grew up kind of rough and left home awful young, and he fell in with a group of men that... Well, let's just say they didn't always do the right thing.
Is that you, Rusty?
Funny meeting you here, Nathan. You remember?
Yeah, I remember. Hey, Connor.
Hello, Nathan.
The two men were old acquaintances of Nathan Hill. The first man was always the leader in any group he fell in with, Rusty Daniels. He was one tough hombre. The second, Connor McDougan, was a young man who left the family and the farm for fame and fortune. These men had not seen each other since Nathan landed the Pony Express job and was stationed in Giddyup Junction.
Sorry, guys. I got to go. There's a man's been hurt, and I need to get him some peroxynodine or something like that.
No problem. We'll see you around town.
Yeah, we'll be seeing you.
Back at the ranger station, the Lord's Ranger tries to find out what was stolen and where to start with his investigation.
Tell me again, how many boxes of coins were you carrying on the stage?
Well, there were 4 boxes of coins, as I recall. Heavy, very heavy. I was taking them to the bank in Dodge City. We don't never carry that kind of cargo very often. I did not get to see one, but I was told that them boxes was full of silver half dollars.
Well, that explains why they hit the stage and why they took your horses.
I'm not following, Ranger.
Well, let me tell you, they took the boxes because they were full of money.
Uh-huh.
And they took your horses because the boxes were very heavy.
Wow. You ought to be some kind of investigator, like one of them there Pinkerton detectives.
As the Lord's Ranger continued to ask questions about the robbery, Nathan Hill had made it to Carson's general store.
Well, good morning to you, Nathan.
Quick, Mr. Carson. I need some perxiolam or something for the doc. One of the fellows from the stage has been hurt.
What happened? And I think you meant peroxide. I'll get you a bottle.
That's it. The doc said you would know.
Nathan's mind began to wander. What are those two doing in town? He questioned whether or not it was a coincidence that the two showed up right after trouble had come to Giddy Up Junction.
Well, what happened?
What'd you say?
I asked what happened. Are you okay, Nathan?
Yes, sir. I'm all right, but I don't rightly know what's going on, but it don't look good. But I tell you, after last week, I don't think I'll be starting any more rumors.
Amen to that. Well, here's that bottle of peroxide.
Thank you, Mr. Carson.
Well, I'm glad to help, but whose account does this go on?
Sorry, I almost forgot. Mr. Hartford said to bill it to the coach company.
Okay, that I can do. Well, what are you just standing there for?
You're right. I best be getting this to the doc.
As Nathan Hill ran the peroxide to Dr. Hertz, 2 men entered Carson's store.
Well, hello. Welcome to Carson's. You fellows must be new in town. I'm Earl Carson. How can I help you fine gentlemen this morning?
You hear that? He called us gentlemen. You best be careful, mister. Me and my friends don't take kindly to being insulted like that.
No, we don't like it at all.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean no harm.
Don't worry. We're just funning you.
Yeah, just funning.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to hear. Now, how can I help you, men?
Well, we come to get a hacksaw and some blades.
All right, then. The saws are right over here. And how many blades will you be needing?
Well, how many do you reckon it'll take to cut through about a half inch of steel?
Well, 2 or 3 at least. It just depends on what type of steel it is.
Lock steel.
Shut up, dummy.
What did he say?
He said clock steel. Yeah, that's it, clock steel.
Well, that must be one big clock if you fellers are going cutting on it with a hacksaw. But 2 ought to do it.
Okay. Well, could we charge the blades and saw till we finish the job? We won't get paid till we get the job done.
I usually don't extend credit to people I don't know. I've been in business for a while. I don't know.
Oh, come on, Earl.
I'm sorry. Unless someone in town that I know could give you a good word for you,
Nathan Hill. Him and us, we've been good friends for years.
Okay, now, are you sure Nathan would stand up for you?
Sure, we saw him on our way into town.
Okay, then. Great. Just come over here, and I'll fill out the paperwork. Now, what was your name again, mister?
Rusty.
Rusty what? I just need it for the charge account.
Rusty Nail.
Rusty Nail, is it?
Shh!
What was that?
Rusty Nail it is.
Yeah, okay. Well, now that we've got business out of the way, I wanted to tell you fellas about what happened last week here in Giddy Up Junction, and to me. You see, I was reading the good book this morning in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. Now, how that God loves the whole world, and that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Mr. Carson told the two men about how the circus had come to town, but the town had gone to church, and he and their friend Nathan Hill had gotten saved and baptized into the church along with the folks from the circus. He told the two men if God could do that for Earl Carson and for Nathan Hill, then he could do that for Rusty Nail and...
I don't believe I got your name, sir.
Well, we best be going. Thanks for the story.
Once the Lord's Ranger had gathered a group of men together to help him bring the stagecoach back to Giddyup Junction, he prayed and asked God to watch over their expedition and to grant them safety on their journey. He also asked the Lord to help him be alert and to walk circumspectly as he investigated this stagecoach robbery. He also prayed that God would bring to light those bandits that had committed the crime. The posse rode out to the scene of the crime, and there was no small stir in Giddyup Junction as word got out that the bandits had hit the stage. The townspeople had gathered at City Hall to find out what was going on in Giddyup Junction. The mayor was just about done asking questions of Mr. Hartford, the stagecoach driver.
Yes, sir, Mayor. It was scary.
What a traumatic experience. Why, if I were you fellas, I would want to get revenge on those varmints that stole my horses and clubbed me in the head like that.
Well, Mayor, to tell you the truth, I for one am thankful to the good Lord above for his watch care over us. Them bandits could have done much worse, but God protected me and Randolph from serious harm. And truthfully, nothing was lost that can't be replaced.
Well, I guess that's a good way to look at it. But them bandits are still on the loose.
Bandits on the loose!
Oh, my!
Those bandits could be planning their next job. They could be looking to rob us all blind.
What is this world coming to?
We could lose everything.
First of the week, we had lions in the street, and now robbers? Oh, all loose, all in Giddyup Junction?
Now, let's not get hysterical. I'm sure that the Lord's Ranger will catch the criminal element plaguing our fair town before they strike again. Let's all make our houses and businesses as secure as we can until then. Let's all get back to doing what we do.
I'm gonna get a lock for my door at Carson's.
Oh, I'm just not gonna sleep a wink until these devils are caught.
Have a great day, citizens. Now, Mr. Hartford, what was stolen in this scary robbery anyway?
Well, they took my horses, two of the most beautiful animals God ever created. They were black and...
Yes, we've all seen and heard about your horses. Now, what else was taken?
Well, other than my two ponies, they took four boxes of half dollars of the stage meant for Dodge City.
Were they the normal large strong boxes the coach company uses with them big half-inch steel locks on them?
Yep, they sure were, Mayor.
Well, if I'm right, each box would hold about 400 silver dollars.
Really?
So four boxes would total...
$100.
No. If I didn't know any better, I would think you were the one that got thumped on the head.
The mayor went on to say that the estimated value of the stolen coins was $800, a small fortune back then. Miles outside of town, the Lord's Ranger was looking over the scene of the crime. He saw the rope that had tied up the two men and some blood on the ground from where Randolph Scott had been hit right on the head. However, the coach itself and the rest of the crime scene had yielded no clues to who had taken off with the stolen coins. The men from town got the wheel fixed up on the stagecoach, and they hooked up one of the horses to it. The Lord's Ranger told the men to head back to town as he took a look around the area before heading back himself. The men asked him to be careful, and the lawman said that he would. So the group parted ways. Without a clue of what to do, the Lord's Ranger stopped and bowed his head while still in the saddle and asked the God in heaven for help.
Dear God, I pray that you would guide me as I seek to find those that have stolen these coins. Lord, watch over the good men of Giddyup Junction now as they head back to town. Bless them, Lord, for the helping hand they've given me today, and bless each of their families, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, my Redeemer. Amen.
As the Lord's Ranger rode around looking for any more clues that he might find, he rode up on a large number of tracks and stopped to investigate.
Whoa, Justice!
As the Ranger jumped down off his trusty steed, Justice, he began to talk with himself and with his horse.
Well, what do you think we have here, Justice? I see it too, boy. Two sets of tracks. But it looks to me like there were two horses, one behind the other. Looks like they were trying to make it look like there was only two horses instead of four. What do you think, Justice? Well, I'm glad that you agree. Now, this one track here looks like one of the horses was missing a shoe. What do you think, boy? It's starting to get late. The sun's almost set, boy. You reckon we ought to make camp here for tonight and follow these here tracks at first light? Well, what do you think, Justice?
So the Lord's Ranger and Justice made camp for the night. They sang some old hymns of the faith and read a little bit of their Bible by the campfire and finally fell asleep for the night. The next morning after praying, doing his morning devotions, and of course followed by a cup of cowboy coffee, the Lord's Ranger mounted his trusty steed, Justice, and they both followed the tracks till they came within sight of a campsite. The Lord's Ranger got down from his horse quiet-like and left Justice behind some cover. He told him to sit tight right where he was. The Ranger crept slowly and cautiously up to the camp when he realized that no one was around, so he began to inspect the camp.
Well, it appears that someone was here last night. The fire, it still has some embers, and what are these?
As the Lord's Ranger looked through the campfire, he found the remains of the four strong boxes from the stage robbery. He dug a little deeper and found two locks that had been cut by a hacksaw. After looking around the rest of the camp and finding no more clues, the Lord's Ranger whistled for his horse. Justice came running. The Lord's Ranger mounted up and headed into town. Back in Giddyup Junction, Rusty Daniels and Connor McDougan are headed for the general store.
This book is so good. I mean to tell you, did you know, Jenny, that Jesus stopped at a well and told a woman about living water?
Oh, why yes, dear. I believe the preacher just preached on that on Sunday.
Well, I'm here to tell you, that's what I got when I got saved. Nothing ever satisfied my soul like receiving Christ.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that, dear. Now just hurry up and get ready for breakfast. Kids!
Who could that be this early?
Well, go help him, but come back for breakfast when you're done.
Okay, make sure to let Sue pray this morning. It's her turn.
All right, I will not. Just go on now.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day that the Lord has made. Hi, General. Never mind. Hi, Rusty, and,
He lets me do the talking for him most of the time. He's Connor.
Well, it's good to see you, men. How can I help you men today?
We come to pay our bill.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Hush up, you.
Well, great. Let me just get the ledger from the back.
As Earl Carson went to find his ledger and get a piece of bacon, in walked Nathan Hill, the town's Pony Express rider, and an old acquaintance of Rusty and Connor.
I saw you two come in here, so I thought I should come and see what you're doing in town.
Well, you know, Nathan, same old, same old.
Yeah, same old.
Well, that's what I thought.
What's wrong? Nathan, it never bothered you before.
Well, I'm not the same man I used to be.
We can see that you're going soft, laddie.
No, he's talking about religion. Didn't you hear that storekeeper the other day tell us he and Nathan are got here born again?
That's right. All that eternal life talk he gave us.
Yep, and I didn't believe it for a minute about Nathan Hill till I just saw it with my own two eyes.
Now, listen, guys,
Well, good morning, Nathan. I didn't hear you come in. I was just talking with your friends, Rusty Nail and Connor. Well, men, the hacksaw and the blades came to one full dollar.
Right. Okay. One, two. Here you go, Earl.
Thanks. Have a great day, fellas. Now, how can I help you, Nathan?
Oh, I don't need anything, Mr. Carson.
Now, I told you, Nathan, call me Brother Carson.
I'm sorry. Brother Carson. I just stopped to see what those two men was doing.
Well, okay. Talk as long as you fellas want. I'm going to go finish my breakfast.
Okay.
See ya, brother.
Now see here, fellas. I got a good life here in Giddy Up Junction. And I love these people. And I'm not...
You're not what? I think you've forgotten who I am, son.
Yeah, you've forgotten.
Listen, Nathan, the only reason I come back to this one-horse town was to get you to come ride with us again. I don't like what I see with this goody-two-shoes life you've done with our old friend.
He's right. Come on and ride with us again, Nathan.
Look, guys, I can't. I'm a saved man now.
Saved from what?
Yeah, saved from a boring life.
No, saved from hell. Saved from my sins.
There's no such a place.
That's the devil's place.
Well, I don't know everything about it, but I know that Jesus paid my sin debt, and now I don't have to go to hell because of his shed blood on Calvary and his resurrection from the dead. I get to go to heaven and have eternal life.
So that's what eternal life's all about.
You gotta be kidding me. Nathan, that's all a story.
You're right, but it's a true story. I've been reading the Bible, and it's helping me to grow in my faith.
I've heard all I want to hear about Jesus. Nathan, we'll be staying at the hotel tonight. In the morning, we ride out for our next job. We want you to go with us before this town and the talk of Jesus messes your mind and drives you crazy. You don't need to tell us now. You think on it today, and we'll see you in the morning.
See you in the morning, Hill.
See you guys.
As the two men left Carson's store and mounted their horses, Nathan stared out the window as they rode off. Nathan Hill's mind went round and round in circles about how to tell the men that he couldn't go, but also how to better witness to them for Christ. Yet, in the back of his mind, he couldn't help but think that those two men had something to do with the robbery that took place a few days earlier. Just as he left Carson's, the Lord's Ranger rode up to Carson's general store.
Whoa, boy. Go on now, Justice. Get you a drink, and I'll meet you at the ranger station. Okay.
That's one smart horse you got there.
I reckon so. Wait a minute. Looky here.
What is it, Ranger? What you looking at?
Well, Nathan, this track here looks just like the one I saw outside of town, made by those bandits leaving the crime scene.
Really?
Well, has anybody been up at Carson's this morning besides you, Nathan?
Well...
Let's go ask Mr. Carson.
Before Nathan could even get the words out, the Lord's Ranger was headed through the door of Carson's store.
Hey, Earl.
Hello. Can I help you? Oh, it's you, Ranger. How can I help you?
Hold on, Brother Carson. Ranger, I got something to say.
What is it, Nathan?
I know who those horses belong to.
What horses? What are we talking about right now?
Hold on, Earl. I mean, Brother Carson.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Nathan. Spill the beans, son.
Yes, sir. Well, them fellas are Rusty and Connor, and that track was from Connor's horse. I saw him come into town a couple of days ago.
I see. Have either of you seen anything suspicious out of them?
Nope. A friend of Nathan's is a friend of mine. They were just here to pay the bill for the hacksaw that they got from me a day ago.
They bought a hacksaw from you, Earl?
Oh, yeah, and a few blades. They were working on a big clock, I think it was.
Really?
They paid me today with these silver half dollars. These things are so pretty, I just can't stop looking at them.
Half dollars, huh? Could I see one of them, Earl?
Sure. Let me get you one. I put them in the back.
While Mr. Carson was in the back, the Lord's Ranger asked Nathan a few more questions.
How long have you known these two men, Nathan?
Well, it has been a couple years, but I knew them for 3 years before coming to Giddy Up Junction.
What type of guys are they, Nathan?
Well, they've been in trouble before, to be honest with you, but maybe they've turned over a new leaf.
Nathan, people don't really turn over a new leaf, not from what I've seen of people. People change because the Lord's working inside of them. Do you know where these men were headed?
Well, they said they're staying in the hotel tonight.
Here it is, and it's a beautiful coin.
It is a nice coin, Earl. I've never seen a silver dollar look like that, have you?
Me either.
Can I take this with me? With the stage losing new half-dollar coins, I think I better check on this coin.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir. Take it with you.
Great. Thanks, Earl.
Don't mention it.
I need to go to the telegraph office, but Nathan, I may need to ask you some more questions about your friends.
Yes, sir. I'll be around today. Is anybody here? Hello? Anybody here?
Yes, I'm here. Oh, well, I was just praying, young man. Now, what would bring Nathan Hill to the church this early in the morning?
Well, preacher, I don't know where to start.
Well, let's start at the beginning. I got time if you have.
All right, well, you know, I have told you some about my past. It would seem some of that past followed me here to Giddy Up Junction.
Nathan told Preacher Parsons all about what he had been a part of before riding for the Pony Express and leaving that lifestyle behind. He explained how his two old friends had come to town and now they wanted him to rejoin their gang.
You see, Preacher, I'm just simply not the same man I was before last Sunday. Since Christ has come into my life, I don't want to just turn over a new leaf. Since I've been saved, I want to be a new leaf. I want the old things to pass away, and I want to live a brand new life for Jesus Christ.
Well, son, that's what you ought to feel. It'd worry me if you didn't. You see, in Romans chapter 6...
The preacher explained in detail from Romans chapter 6 what should have happened to the old man or the flesh, and what should be happening to the new man that is born again into the family of God. The preacher explained how all this is pictured in baptism. He told the young man that when he went back and under the water, that pictured not only the death and the burial of Jesus, but also of the old man. He then said when he was raised back up out of the water, that pictured the resurrection of Jesus, but also of the new man that is to walk in the newness of life.
That's exactly what I've been feeling, Preacher. I just didn't know it. It was in the Bible all along. Thank you for taking the time to show it to me, Preacher.
Well, you're welcome. I'm glad you came to see me here at the church, Nathan. If you don't mind me asking, what are you going to do about the two men that have come to town?
Well, Preacher, I've been reading in my Bible, in Matthew, just like you told me, and I came upon a verse that, well, it seems like it was just for me. I know that sounds kind of silly.
No, no, young man, it doesn't. What was the verse?
It was Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Preacher, since I've been saved and baptized, I want to put God first in everything. So I really don't know what I'm going to do about those two guys. I know I'm not leaving town with them, because that would not put God first, but I still want to help them. Preacher, I was just like them not all that long ago.
Well, when you don't know what to do, the thing to do is what I was doing when you came in.
You mean pray?
Sure enough. It's one of the best ways to put God first. You pray to God and you tell him you don't know which way to go and you want him to direct your path.
You know, that sounds a lot like the proverb I was reading just the other day.
And that's because that's just where it came from. Why don't we pray together for you to put God first and for your friends to come to Christ through salvation? Nathan, why don't you pray first?
Okay. Dear God, thank you for saving my soul and giving me the desire to put you first. God, I don't know how to tell Rusty and Connor why I can't go with them. Will you direct my path? Lord, will you help Rusty and Connor to see the truth of salvation and to get born again? In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.
After Nathan finished, Preacher Parsons prayed that God would bless Nathan and to help him grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. He prayed for the two men and that God would work in their lives to bring them to a place in which they could hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Then he prayed for the Lord's Ranger and for him to get to the bottom of the stage robbery and to bring law and order back to the town of Giddyup Junction. As the two men prayed at the other end of town, the Lord's Ranger was receiving a telegram back from his friend in Washington.
Here you go, Ranger.
Thank you, Mr. Hiltz.
It was a pleasure to help a lawman like yourself.
As the Lord's Ranger left the telegraph office, he heard something growling at him. After close inspection of his surroundings and another growl, he realized it was coming from his stomach. The ranger hadn't eaten a thing since Mr. Hartford, the stagecoach driver, had come through the door of the ranger station. In need of a place to eat and read the telegram, the Lord's Ranger headed over to the Grand Hotel and restaurant. The Grand Hotel and restaurant got its name from its owners, Mr. and Mrs. Grand. It had been a family business for two generations.
Well, well, look what the cat dragged in. Come on and sit down. You look like you hadn't eaten days.
Well, Betty, you're not far off. I'll have the...
I know. You get it every time. Come on in. Come on in.
Thank you.
While the ranger drank some water, he read the telegram from his friend in Washington, D.C. It explained how the coins were a special commemorative coin, the first of its kind. They were just released in a shipment of four boxes headed for Dodge City had never made it. His friend told him the coins were minted to raise funds for an exhibit about Christopher Columbus and his voyage to the Americas 400 years ago. The telegram explained that the image of the man on the front was Christopher Columbus. On the back of the coin was a ship called the Santa Maria, sailing with two round globes below it, depicting each hemisphere, along with the date 1492. The Lord's Ranger pulled the coin from his pocket and began to study each side to see if it matched the description that had been given to him by his friend. Realizing the coin was a match, and while eating his meal, the Lord's Ranger pondered on whether or not this was enough evidence to convict Nathan's two friends. As the lawman finished his meal, Mr. Hartford approached his table and asked if he could take a seat.
Of course. Sit down, Dylan.
Well, Ranger, where are we on the investigation?
The Lord's Ranger brought Mr. Hartford up to speed with what he knew about the coins. He said that he had some suspects, but he felt he needed a little more evidence before he arrested them.
Christopher Columbus, huh? I heard of him. He sailed the ocean blue in 1492. I don't know what he was thinking, sailing out into the blue like that.
Well, it did seem crazy to those who believed the science of the day, well, so-called science of the day. They had had a theory which is nothing more than a thought or a notion of man, but they talked like it was fact. This theory was that the earth was flat like a pancake.
The Lord's Ranger continued to explain how Christopher Columbus put his faith in God's word and not the science of the day. He told Mr. Hartford how Columbus had found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40 and verse 20, that the word of God says that it is God that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And it was this very verse from God's word that he put his faith in as he made his voyage.
You see, Mr. Hartford, no matter what your friends or science so-called of the day may say, the word of God is true, and it's perfect, and it is faith in God and his word that saw Mr. Columbus through, and it's what will see us through even today.
Well, I did not know that about old Christopher Columbus.
As the two men continued to talk, Betty Grand was walking from table to table, clearing off dishes and picking up her tips. As she approached the ranger's table, she sat down her tray and she began to ask a question.
Will you be having dessert, Ranger?
Well, looky there, Ranger. That's one of the coins right there.
Betty, where did you get this coin from?
Well, Ranger, that was a tip from those two men sitting over there.
Betty Grand pointed across the room to a table where Rusty Daniels and Connor McDougan were seated. It seemed like time stood still as all three people stared at the two men from across the room, when suddenly a voice broke all their concentrations.
Howdy, Ranger. Good to see you.
Nathan walked across the room and sat down at the table with Rusty and Connor. The Lord's Ranger, Betty, and Mr. Hartford watched from a distance, trying hard to listen from across the room as Nathan started the conversation with his two old friends.
Hey, guys. I want to talk to you about...
I see, I told you, Connor, that he'd show up. It's a good thing to see you, Nathan. Now let's get out of this town.
Yeah, I don't like it here. The people are too happy-go-lucky for me.
Listen to me now.
You got plenty of time to tell us, Nathan. Whatever it is on the ride, you are saddled up and ready to go, right?
No, because I'm not going.
What? What do you mean you ain't going?
I told you he wasn't a-going.
You hush up, or I'll put a knot on your head.
From across the room, you couldn't help but hear the loud threat made by Rusty. Mr. Hartford turned real pale in that moment. As he turned to the Lord's Ranger, you could hear him say,
I think that's the guy.
Are you sure, Dylan?
It sure sounds like him.
Across the room, the conversation continued.
Listen, I told you, I'm different now that I've received Jesus. And I came today because I want to talk to you two about receiving Jesus too.
There was a long pause from the two men, each looking at the other, not sure how to react. Each one was waiting for the other, and then Rusty Daniels got his face crossed in a way that Nathan had never seen before, and he began to laugh. It was an evil, devilish laugh. Shortly, Connor joined in, and the two laughed in a way that silenced the whole room.
That's them, Ranger. I would know that evil laugh anywhere. That sound, it's them bandits, I tell you.
Are you sure, Dylan?
I am as sure as I am saved.
All right, well, just stay here.
The Lord's Ranger got up and slipped out the front door as Rusty and Connor finished laughing. They picked up their conversation with Nathan Hill.
Listen, Nathan, when you took off and left for the Pony Express with not even so much as a goodbye, I chalked it up as being a young man looking for adventure. But this, were you wanting to hold on to this one horse town because of you found Jesus? I see now, Connor, our old friend is gone, and a new man that resides in Nathan Hill is nothing like us.
Yeah, nothing like us.
Look, fellas, I care for both of you, and I'm worried about where you will spend eternity without Jesus.
Don't you worry, Nun. We can pay our own way.
Yeah, we can afford to pay.
As the conversation was about to close, Nathan pleaded with the men to come to Christ in salvation. The Lord's Ranger came through the back door with two new robes. He moved quietly towards the bandits, talking with Nathan. Upset and ready to go, Rusty Daniels stood up and Connor followed.
Well, I heard all I want to hear about your Jesus and salvation. Come on, Connor, let's get out of here.
When the two men stood up, the Lord's Ranger sprang into action. He roped both bandits, and before you could say, praise the Lord, he had those two bandits tied up so tight, they couldn't even think of going for a weapon or try to run away from the scene.
What's going on, Ranger?
You got them, Ranger. You got those bandits.
You men are under arrest.
The Lord's Ranger explained to Nathan about what he had discovered about the coins and that Mr. Hartford had identified the men by their laugh. He then explained that he had gone outside and inspected the men's saddlebags and found the rest of the coins.
Come on, you two. You're headed for jail.
The Lord's Ranger, with the help of Mr. Hartford, took the two men to the ranger station and locked them in a cell in the back. Later in the day, Nathan Hill came by the ranger station to see his old friends.
Hey, Ranger, could I talk with Rusty and Connor?
Sure, Nathan.
Nathan Hill, with his Bible in hand, made his way to the cell where the two men were. They greeted each other, and Rusty told his old friend to go ahead and say, "I told you so." But Nathan Hill explained that he was not there for that reason. He told the men he had come to read to them from a book that had been given to him by a friend. He read the Bible to the men from the third chapter of John. And when he reached verse 16, the men remembered what Earl Carson's had shared with them about salvation. And now they began to get serious about eternity. Rusty Daniels, who always took the lead, asked Nathan, "What must I do to be saved?" And like always, Connor McDougan followed with, "Yes, what must we do?" Nathan explained to the men, to be saved, you must turn away from or repent from anything that you're trusting in other than Jesus Christ, and put your faith and your trust in the shed blood of the perfect Son of God for the forgiveness of your sins, and believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The men bowed their heads in the cell, and they received Christ as their personal Savior. It wasn't long after that that the marshal showed up to take the two men to Dodge City for trial. As they were handcuffed and led away, Nathan handed Rusty his Bible and told him to read it every day. Rusty smiled and said he would. As the marshals and the two men rode out of town, Nathan felt both good and sad at the same time. The Lord's Ranger encouraged him with some words and a friendly pat on the back. Well, cowboys and cowgirls, God did send His Son to pay for our sins, and if you will simply turn to Him and trust in Jesus, then you too can have eternal life. Happy trails!
Giddy Up Junction and the Lord's Ranger are owned exclusively by Landmark Baptist Church and Gospel 90.3 FM and cannot be used without written consent of Landmark Baptist Church and Gospel 90.3 FM.